This podcast is a part of the Newhoff Media Podcast Network.
You want great history? Trip down memory lane? So many reasons to love the Tribune. I was reading about Admiral Byrd. And how do you get all this stuff, Paul? Like every week.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just crazy.
Been around long enough?
Yeah, you live long enough. You have every story in town.
Well, who was Admiral Byrd?
Don't you remember him? The experience in the North Pole?
Yeah. I mean, the name I do, but I don't know the connection to Decatur.
Well, he visited Decatur.
Okay.
And there's a story about an experience he had here that didn't make the papers. Some person took him for a place where he could rest and kind of refresh himself. And I think he really appreciated that because, I mean, he was like a megastar, you know, coming to Decatur.
1931.
Yeah. So, no, I wasn't around then to witness that.
But he was an aviator, right? And then, of course, the Polar Express thing was the big historical thing. It was crazy when you think back at a time like, you know, presidents and explorers and, you know, athletes and travel by train and go city to city. It was just a different time.
It was. And we had presidential candidates coming through and stopping here by train, you know, like Harry Truman. And I remember, not too long after I started in business on the other side of this building here, when Barry Goldwater came by train to Decatur, and I could look out my office window and see him down there in the railroad crossing.
Yeah, Richard Nixon, John F. Kennedy.
Yeah.
It was a lot.
And Jimmy Carter, he came to Decatur before he's president. And President Reagan came to Decatur. He flew in. He didn't come by train. And over the years, we've had a lot of clout with Skinny Taylor and some of those Republican chairmen and on the Democrat side also.
We also don't do those nicknames anymore unless you're in the mob. Skinny, you write about Tiny today. You know, there was love that.
Well, it's like, you know, Tiny Hill, we had the big band leader. He's 370 pounds. He's out of Decatur in central Illinois. And Jack Fleener and some others wrote and said, you know, I used to mow his yard or I used to pump gas in his limousine when I was in high school. It's just like, you know, there's a lot of connections going to experience. I mean, something as simple as pumping gas into a big guy's car, you know, here all these years later.
Yeah.
You know, that's a memory that's just stuck in the mind. Someone wrote the other day and said, my dad used to play in his band, you know, so you look around Decatur and you write something like that and you ask where I get a lot of this. A lot of that is feedback from people who had connections, you know, to Admiral Byrd or Tiny Hill or about anyone that you want to mention in there. That Decatur had a lot of celebrities come through, you know, back in the day and still today to a certain extent, but not to the extent that they attracted the attention that they did because you didn't have the media back then.
Well, yeah, living in a different world.
Yeah.
For sure. I mean, you know, even as I, you know, look over, you know, at the Lincoln Theater and you think about all the acts that came through there. And it was not Houdini, by the way. That was one of the misnomers about the history of the theater. Was it Blackstone? Or let everybody out of the theater when there was a fire?
Yeah. So it's
they thought it was part of the act, but he got everybody out to safety.
There is still debate whether Houdini ever performed there or not.
I thought that had been proved to not be true.
I thought that issue disappeared. Sorry.
All right. There we go.
Hey, it's
you can read all about Tiny. It is. Tiny Hill in today's City Beat column and the great history there. Let me ask you this, though. I know Dr. Morris has been doing interviews with the school board candidates. You can get those on the podcast page. Go to the Morris Code. I think she's had three in so far. But we've got a council race and a school board race, and I'm not hearing much.
No, I'm not getting any feedback from my readers, particularly, I think, in the council race. And when you think about it, we're only 4 weeks away from today before early voting starts. I mean, that's going to go by in the blink of an eye. And I have heard more from the school board candidates.
Okay.
But, of course, the election, certainly city council election, the mayor's election, she's already elected, re-elected because she has no opponent. And you have four candidates running for three seats on the city council, and there's really not a lot of excitement being built. You know, I think Carl Coleman, who's kind of the outsider in this race, who hasn't been on the city council before, he's been going around and holding some meetings and some gatherings and getting better acquainted with people. So I think he's out, you know, making an effort to get better known, although what, he's on the county board now, and he got some publicity that way. But you wonder about the turnout, too, that's going to happen in this election when it's so low profile. And I think probably the most publicity, when it comes, if it comes, will be in the school board race because, you know, what, you have eight candidates running for three seats, so it's going to be kind of competitive as we get down the stretch.
Yeah, well, for sure. I think there's kind of this January bubble. People get through the holidays, winter, you know, before they get rolling. I mean, we do have some time. I mean, it's a month away from, as you said, early voting, but we're a few months away from Election Day. I think they'll probably get out there.
Yeah, I would hope so. Both of these elections are extremely important, as you've emphasized so many times. You know, this is here. These people have direct impact on your life, more so than any other elected office. Unless we go to war or something, nationally. And I think your taxes go to support the school district. Taxes go to what the city council will be doing, and they have been doing. So I think you reach into your pocket and you examine your money, and it's just like, well, you're voting your money.
Right. It's not even just money. I'd love to know what the percentage is. Like if you could see a graph chart of the people who get on social media and complain about something, school district, city council, and overlay that with a graph of the people who actually vote in those elections.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think you'd be staggered.
It's almost, it's easier, I guess, just to whine and complain instead of actually even getting out and spending 10 minutes to go vote. And it really doesn't take very long. I early vote. I usually early vote about a week ahead of the election. I want to make sure nothing major happens by voting too early. But I just go over to the county building. It's a block away. Yeah, I walk in. A lot of the time I go over there and
I did that in November, for the first time. Yeah.
It's pretty easy.
Yeah.
It is. And say I probably 10, 15 minutes from my office over there, vote back. And it's just like, why can you complain and then not do something as simple as that?
We had to go on vacation one time. I don't know what that was. I remember going and doing that, but it's been years and years. So I voted early in November because I hadn't been in that office for a very long time. And they had a Byers & Company mug on the front counter with Pence. That mug's got to be 20 years old. It's like, I thought, well, there you go.
Did you feel at home?
No, it was like the remnants of Steve Bean. Anyway, they do a great job over there. And as you said, or you can mail in, you can do all this stuff. I think you'll see the Republican Party, or at least I hope, come around on this mail-in voting thing. You know, they've kind of made it to where it's like something murky or bad. Why would you not change the way we vote?
Yeah.
I mean, with all the technological advances we have in life, you're going to go, nope, we're going to do this the exact same way we did it in the 1950s.
Well, I think that's really a good point. And it also shows that you have fewer excuses today for not voting. You can't say, oh, I was working late or I couldn't do this.
Weather was bad.
Yeah. If you want to vote, you can vote. And it's as simple as that. And if you don't vote, it's because you don't want to bother.
Right. But the Republicans, 10 years ago were in particularly here in Illinois, all for mail-in ballots. And then all of a sudden Trump says no. And then Darren Bailey says no. And then they just got trounced.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why would you? I just don't know why you want to make that pool smaller.
No, and I think also when you look at, as you mentioned, the advances we've made in just about every area of our lives, you have to keep step with what's happening. And because something is new doesn't mean that it's crooked or bad.
No.
It's in many ways, it's easier to check the a lot of the new process.
Yes. Yeah. But the illusion that has been created is that there's this all of this stealing and cheating, all this stuff going on, and people don't trust the system. It's a strategy I do not understand, because you just keep making your pool of voters smaller and smaller and smaller. Meanwhile, the other side keeps growing and growing. How are you going to win an election that way?
Yeah, a lot of what happens today doesn't make any sense that
but
way.
But keep telling people their vote doesn't count. You know, we don't want you to mail it from home, even during a pandemic. We want you to do it doesn't, from a strategy point of view, make any sense at all.
Have you ever seen a time when more people who lose elections have complained that there was cheating? I mean, we had that nationwide in a couple of races, the race for governor. Yeah. Where, in Arizona, was it?
Yeah, Carrie Lake.
Yeah, that she really didn't lose that election. And it's almost, maybe that's part of it too, that people say, well, you know, I voted for her or I didn't vote for her. What's she talking about? And I think we've created this environment where people are suspicious of votes being counted.
But here's the thing, though, that and I mean this, there's no political attachment to this next conversation, RD, red, blue. But you're a sucker if you fall for this stuff. She's raised $2.5 million after Election Day because there's so many people that will buy into these fraud claims. I mean, these people don't even believe it themselves. They are using you.
Yeah, and it's a good way to raise funds in this day and age.
Yeah, and then the way that happens is they get a, you know, I mean, you know, it's not like it all goes into like a account that they can only use, you know, when they're running for office. I mean, this thing's a money machine.
Yeah.
That's the cynical part of me, is like, they don't even believe it.
No. Yeah. Yeah. If they believe that, it might make a little bit of difference. And that's not saying that somewhere along the line, you know, maybe someone's vote wasn't counted.
And by the way, less than a quarter of those contributions are from Arizona.
Yeah.
So when they do this steal thing, they're not even talking to their constituents. This is a national thing where it's a money grab.
Well, I think you bring it down to kind of where this conversation started, that on the local level, you know, I think Josh does an amazing job, you know. And it's just like, you think your vote's not going to count
over
there?
No, but people like Josh across this country have had their lives threatened, their families threatened. You know, people have quit in droves because of this. I mean, we have to stop this nonsense. The answer is go vote.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you can stop the nonsense if you honestly go vote, because your vote will count. And if you vote for school board members, you vote for city council, you know, you can count on that ballot being count worthy, you know, when they are counted. Now, will mistakes be made? Sure. I mean, they're human, but I'm saying—
But they're not human. I mean, they're not. The mistakes do not rise to changing the outcome of an election. They never have.
No. And I think we had the case here with the sheriff's race,
yep.
You know.
Took a long time.
Yeah, it took a long time, but the right answer came out of that. And that wasn't because of any kind of fraud involved. It was because of a few votes that just unintentionally weren't counted. But it was corrected. It took a while,
yep.
But it was corrected. And I think we need to—
Also shows the importance of, you know, when you look at the ridiculously small amounts of people that actually vote in those races and how much 1, 2, 3, 5, 12 votes can make.
Well, that's really a good point, because, you know, if you voted in that election, or if you didn't vote in that election, you had impact in that sheriff's race,
yeah.
Because it was so close. And to say, well, my vote doesn't count, I'm not going to vote— Sure did there, and it does in other races, too. So I've always voted, and I've always felt it's responsibility to not only vote, but to know who you're voting for, and in your mind, why you're voting for those people.
Well, we got important election coming up. The city council and the school board and others that are out there, as you said, those people have way more impact on your day-to-day life than anything that happens in Springfield or Washington, D.C.
Well, I think they also need a vote of confidence, those people who do win. I mean, if you win and 10% of the people voted, I mean, you got to realize 90% of the people, they didn't care whether you were elected or not. And so
they're busy on Facebook criticizing you.
Yeah, yeah.
They don't have time to vote.
Yeah, they don't have time to vote, but they have hours they can spend criticizing your vote.
Let me ask you, you know, because I know you guys, you know, you use social media. I'm always, I get sort of a kick out of like the people that don't even live here that comment on stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Who has time to go to somebody else's town?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah.
I mean, it's one thing. I give you the ridiculous stance in the world, but hey, at least you're here. You're part of the team. I don't understand people who, like, you know, how much time do you have? Like, I mean, how many towns are you following?
Yeah. Yeah. They must have a full-time job doing that, keeping track of all the towns in the country. But, and we have people who leave here that have gone here. Hey,
but they've been gone for 25 years, and they want to tell you exactly what's going on in the community they don't live in.
Yeah, and it's changed since they were here.
It has. It was 25 years ago.
Yeah. Well, I think people, you know, can reflect, and we do this, as you mentioned, with you know, a lot of the scrapbook articles and that. You can reflect on a different time and a different era.
Right.
But that's in the past.
You know where it's I don't want to live is when Tiny Hill was popular. No air conditioning.
Yeah. So that's the thing you see. You dream about those days, you know, and then you think, you know, what didn't we have back then? What do we have today?
What was life expectancy at that time, right?
Yeah, what, 25?
Well, you can listen. We learn from history. History is important, and I value it, and I love reading about it, and I love the look back stuff.
Yeah.
But you got to look forward, too.
Well, we don't live in the past. I mean, we can visit the past.
Really? Start talking about building a new school.
Yeah. And, well, I think that's why the path we
When I was
the
there,
past.
It was 1948.
Yeah. We tied our horses to that rail in front of the main hall. And I think, you know, these things that are written and done in our community, you know, we learn from them.
Yeah.
And you would think you would learn this is a better way to do this.
Yes.
Times have changed, and so this is how the community changed.
Yes.
And what we had back then was great. And we enjoyed it, but that's we're here now.
And for the people who want one vote one day, I want to take away all your banking privileges. You do anything, you got to physically drive to the bank, and you got to go in there, and you got to talk to someone.
Well, I'm glad you're not in the banking business.
No, I'm saying, I mean, in every other aspect of our life, right? I mean, we don't – I can't tell you last time I was in the bank.
Yeah. Well, I know this last week we received a letter from a person that, you know, they liked reading the Tribune, and they said it kind of reminds me of the time when I set type for the Moultrie County News. You know, she was a typesetter. It was you know, the newspaper production has changed. That's a precious memory to her.
And right, I'm but sure, you're not going back to it anytime soon.
And I don't want to go back to the way we did the paper when I first had the paper 50 years ago. You know, it was a lot more difficult to lay the paper out then.
Sure.
And you know, now it's all digital. You know, we lay it out, you know, digital format. I don't want to go back to those days. Those days were special and precious and special memories.
Have great memories.
But I don't want to put the paper out that way anymore.
Let's be smarter. Paul, good stuff. Be careful out there. It's slippery.
It is.
And watch your feet and your car, right?
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit newhoffmedia.com.